Since the 1800s, Hickok & Boardman Insurance Group has been providing quality service and peace of mind to our clients. With our offices in Burlington, Stowe, and St. Albans, and our Dennis Ricker & Brown offices in Montpelier and Lynnonville, we are here when you need us.
It's time for Radio Vermont's News and Public Affairs program, Open Mic with Hester Fuller. Phone lines to speak with Hester are open at 802-244-1777 and toll-free 1-877-291-8255. And here's your host, Hester Fuller.
Thank you, Tom. Glad to see you on the other side of the glass this morning. How are you today?
I'm doing okay. Good morning. Did you have a good weekend?
I had a pretty good weekend. It was sunny and it was hot, and that's, you know, pretty much all I require of a weekend. That's just fine.
It's going to get a little cooler, I guess, but not too cool.
No, but Roger Hill says next weekend is going to be spectacular.
That sounds good
to
me.
For the Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, it's not always the case. We've been pretty lucky with our holiday weekends, 4th of July, Memorial Day weekend.
Yep, no, it's been fantastic, and I guess we got another one lined up to go. Lots going on this week for a lot of folks. We'd love to hear from you if you're out there and got a story to tell about your weekend or about the week just getting underway today. Give me a call, 244-1777, or toll-free, 1-877-291-8255. It's the start of school. You pack a little one off today for the very first time? Well, get your Kleenex out and daub yourself off and ring us up and tell us all about it. Love to hear stories of first days of school. Maybe you got a big one heading out, and it's the very first day of his or her senior year. I'd like to hear about that, too. If your mom, if your dad, probably means something, give us a call. 244-1777 or 877-291-8255. You can save a little money and call us toll-free. What else has been happening this weekend? Champlain Valley Fair, well underway. And love to hear fair stories. Always love fair stories. Give us a call. What did you see? What amazed you? What was fun? Who did you meet that you were surprised to meet, that you were glad to meet? Tell us your fair story. Give us a call. 244-1777 or toll-free 1-877-291-8255. You know, as the school year gets underway, the Act 46 process revs itself up again. We got some plans forming in various parts of our listening area. I know down in Williamstown and Northfield, they're planning a meeting later this week. I bet you we're going to hear from somebody down there later this hour. Tell us all about it. How about your town? You guys settled up what you're going to do about the merger of administrative or governance bodies that the state is after us now to take care of? Give us a call, 244-1777. Or 1-877-291-8255. Hey, Tom, what's been piquing your curiosity of late?
Well, there's a lot of different things. It is kind of interesting. I know a lot of people don't want to necessarily think about the Hurricane Irene.
Mm-hmm.
And there was mixed, I think Eric mentioned this morning, some people were all about let's get together and celebrate togetherness and how we all came together. But some people weren't into that. But I just think that the thing that it really has demonstrated is that it was a terrible event, but it really brought people together who don't normally necessarily do those things. So now that it's a community celebration, things are better than they were before.
Well, we're not really celebrating the storm, are we? We're celebrating the community that we are so lucky to be part of. Every little town has its little nexus, and it's really kind of a privilege, more than just kind of a privilege, a definite lucky break if you wind up living here in a community where there's just enough folks to get a lot of things done, and not so many folks you don't know each one of them by face, by name, and by habit, and really get to know folks and learn to live together over decades. It's a different kind of thing than our city-bound friends may be used to. Love talking about that special community spirit here on Radio Vermont. Give us a call if you've got a story to tell along those lines, too. We'd like to hear it.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, do the phone numbers.
I'll do the phone numbers. 244-1777 or toll free 1-877-291-8255. You were saying, Mr.
As we often talk about, even as we're closer in some of the rural places because of new technologies, the internet and email and such, we sometimes are growing apart because you're just typing on the computer all the time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, times like some of these community gatherings with that, you've often mentioned all the different the farming events and stuff around Hardwick and the community garden and stuff. So it's interesting, although I agree there's a lot of that Pokemon thing. There's a great quote I saw: we need less Xboxes and more tackle boxes.
tackle box.
So, absolutely. Just to get out there and do some things. So, but there is still a nice mix, and like you say, in Vermont, where there's a lot of community spirit out there, all kinds mm-hmm. of really amazing things going on.
Well, you know, speaking of the new technologies and community spirit, there's one great irony that I've noticed, going on 10 years or so now. My schedule has always been kind of wackadoo, you know, out early and home late and coming and going every which way and holing up for great lengths of time to work on projects just by myself, so people think I've either moved or died or been in the hospital. I haven't been. I've just been holed up.
That's good news.
But with the advent of some of these new technologies, Facebook in particular, where I live, I'm able to maintain kind of a daily give and go with a lot of folks that I see around town. I've actually gotten to know some folks right in my own community that I had not actually crossed physical paths with yet. And that, you know, that begins something, and then you take it on from there with the, you know, the usual trappings of community involvement. But Facebook can be a really, really good thing.
That's helpful. I mean, we've talked about, there's a guest we've had on here, mm-hmm. and on Mike's show, that sometimes they reach out through Facebook. It's just easier mm-hmm. to do. And like anything, Facebook can get to places.
My brother calls it in your Facebook.
Yeah. Just, you know, lack of privacy book. But there's people who I would never talk to from, like, high school, mm-hmm. live all over the country, all over the world. And
sure.
when they remind me, hey, they're having an event today or they're having a birthday.
Yeah.
Just,
it brings a lot of stuff back. Yeah. It's one thing. It's great fun for me. I've been a teacher off and on for, goodness, going on 30 years. And I have students that I knew as freshmen in college way back in before the 90s began. And it's just so much fun to touch base with them that way. They're still the same folks, but they've grown. They've sort of ripened, I guess you could say. They have kids now who are approaching the age they were when we all met. And it's just so much fun for me. You know, it's fun for me to have that daily contact restored. I've got one friend who grew up to be a bus driver. He's a great guy. He was in my radio classes, you know, as a teenager. And he actually runs the route from, I guess it's Manchester, New Hampshire, down to Boston often.
Wow.
And I just get the biggest charge. I feel like I'm sitting, you know, that seat in the bus right behind the driver where you can actually talk to him?
Yeah,
my favorite seat, because they see a lot of stuff. And if you can get a conversation going, it's wonderful. Anyway, it's like riding in the back right behind Mick when he's driving his route back and forth. I tease him all the time about living a life that has to stay inside the lines. He's a very imaginative guy. Great drummer, too.
Wow.
But, you know, no one would know that because he's careful and he gets there on time and does his job well.
Real multitasker.
Mm-hmm,
little drum set in the bus. And
no, he's off.
No,
he's awesome.
Be distracting.
But we got to, you know, I got to reestablish that friendship. And, yeah, it happens, you know, it's not a deep, you know, give-and-go kind of friendship, but conversationally, it's sort of the daily quality that makes so much of our regular lives so rich, just that, you know, little, small give-and-go, and it's great. And, you know, Facebook makes that possible, and I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah, well, that's good. And you get good connectivity up there?
I do now.
But it was a struggle. I mean, there's spot, you know, with our camp over in
Standard. Yeah.
Forget it.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from folks in various spots around our listening area about the connectivity situation where they live. I know it's been an issue, and I know there are lots of localized efforts to bring better connectivity. Fairpoint has been the only game for a long time in certain parts of the state. Some folks have been frustrated with Fairpoint. Some folks find them fine. And VTEL has now broadened the reach of its fiber. I guess it's a fiber network with some kind of neat wireless technology, even reaching into the little pockets and hollows. That's been pretty good. And then there's some wonderful efforts going away. There's a fellow named Michael Birnbaum over in Plainfield who's doing a fabulous job kind of drumming up his own internet service provision and really, really spending time in the towns and figuring out what the needs are and how this can possibly work and getting the infrastructure together so we can actually make a business out of it. So, and there's a lot going on, and folks do, one of the big things is folks are recognizing how important that service is to folks for education, for commerce, for everything else.
That's that balance that people find, again, like we talk about so often, they don't necessarily want a big transmitter right in the middle of the town
right.
or all over the... So
the broccoli steamer, you mean?
Yeah, I'm talking about that tree that they got... Mm-hmm. But there is that compromise. How do you blend the stuff in? Or then some of it's just essential, like emergency people.
Mm-hmm.
They have the radio and short band and all that stuff. But still, it's kind of interesting.
You
and
know,
I
know you, you just reminded me of something. And I'd also like to hear, you know, my head is popping this morning with things I'd like to hear from our listeners about. You remember the state closed down a bunch of those dispatch centers for emergency calls?
Yep.
There's a number of towns and villages that have been affected in our listening area. I'm wondering how that's working out now that they've reduced the number of dispatch centers. How is that working out? Anybody out there, EMT, emergency responders, care to speak to the way the system is performing now that we have to deal with it that way? Have you noticed any change? Love to know from the folks who are actually on the front lines how that's working out for them. So give us a call, 244-1777, or toll-free, 1-877-291-8255.
I know as part of that, they've mentioned in the news lately that some of the towns that have just had old landline services of operators and whatnot, now they have to upgrade, and they're so far behind, but there was never a need.
Yeah.
That's costing all kinds of money to even propose getting up to with digital 911 and all that stuff, to integrate all that together.
I know.
Bit of a challenge.
It is a challenge. Well, we had a similar challenge in rural areas some time ago, which was the reason for the formation of the Rural Electrification Administration. We got electric power out to every nook and cranny of the state.
Yes.
I don't know why we can't mount a similar effort now.
I guess maybe people don't mind the look of those telephone poles as much as they do some of those towers some places.
You know, you can hide those towers.
I agree.
Silos and steeples.
Yeah, steeples and...
And attach them to the phone lines that are... Attach them to the poles that are already there.
We have some on our towers.
Yeah, it's diplomacy and politics more than physical obstruction, I guess.
I remember there's that famous broadcast by... one of my favorite, Mr. Goodnight, good luck, Edward R. Murrow, when he, of course, he would do the first one he did that I always thought was amazing, when he had the two TVs behind him.
Uh-huh.
One showed the East Coast, one showed the West Coast, and he's just smoking his cigarette when you could do that and just watching them to see, for everybody to see around the world, both coasts at the same time. And the similar one, I think it was up in northern Vermont, like up around Victory or that area, one of the last places to get the electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he had a live feed. And now we go to Victory, Vermont, and
Wow. Lighting
up the lights, and it was on.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I have to. Is there a YouTube video of that?
I know. I've never looked for it. I'm sure it's out there someplace.
I would love to see that. He's one of my all-time heroes, you know.
Yeah.
You miss him every day, especially this election season, you know. There's a man who felt facts were pretty important.
I don't think he'd be too thrilled.
Well, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, I don't know some of the old school fellas even would recognize what passes for quote unquote journalism on some of the mainstream media, as I like to call them, today. There's still obviously some wonderful practitioners, some serious ones, and we're blessed to have a crowd of them right here in the state. Folks who have worked here and folks who work at our television station Channel 3 up in Burlington. There's some really first-class journalists that are working there, but boy, oh boy, on the satellite dish and the cable networks, what passes for news is just really kind of frightening.
That movie that George Clooney that was involved in with about...
Yeah,
Murrow,
another one of my favorite people to look at.
Well, maybe 10, 12 years ago or so that came out, but in that there was the big thing about Murrow warning about what has become the media now.
Yeah.
It looked like a doomsday. Well, there'll be less and less of a local thing, and there'll be more about FaceTime, and look how things have turned out.
Well, it was that critic, Newton Minow's criticism, too, the wasteland that is. I think it was Newton Minow, the wasteland of modern...
That's right. I think he was talking about Gilligan's Island. So they named I was just reading that. So they named the Minnow the boat that they
after Newton Minnow.
It was
seriously.
It was a little dig by
funny.
Sherwood Schwartz. The
how do you know that name? I'm impressed.
Read way too much.
Well,
a bit of a historian.
No one can read too much. I think you read different things than I do.
I'm not really so much into nonfiction. Just kind of a database of useless history information.
Wow, you want to be on my trivia team?
Where's that?
Up at Parker Pie in West Glover.
Oh my gosh.
It's fantastic. Actually, Bethany Dunbar, who's been in here often, she and I have agreed to take on a night of making trivia questions and hosting the trivia.
That would be a great one, the Minnow question.
The Minnow question would be good. We should talk after, but not here, you know.
No,
or we could talk here just as long as it stays between you and me. And you know.
Right, we can't let everyone... Now, don't tell anybody.
Don't
here's
tell
the
anybody.
Answers
You're
to
listening.
This week's trivia.
We don't know exactly when that's going to be, but probably sometime in early September. We're really looking forward to that, because that's a good time. That's a very, very good time, if you're ever up that way.
Sounds good.
Do we need to take a little bit of business
break? We can take a little break.
Let's do that. Let's remind folks once again, we're not going to hog the conversation here. We'd love to hear from you. 244-1777. Or call us toll-free, 1-877-291-8255. Puts you in touch with Open Mic. Good morning and welcome back. This is Open Mic. Hester Fuller is my name. I'm here with Tom McLeod this morning waiting for your calls, 244-1777 or toll-free 1-877-291-8255. 855. You know, Tom, I heard a really interesting thing on the morning news service this morning, as I usually do. Actually, it was an advertisement, but I think it would be a really interesting topic to explore farther. And that is the name of it has slipped my mind, but the fund is that the Vermont Community Foundation is running this fund that people can invest in to support local farm businesses, food and other kinds of agricultural endeavors. That whole rise of crowdfunding has given rise to a lot of really interesting stuff. I mean, starting with GoFundMe and Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Is a really special one. I'd actually like to point out, if you're a filmmaker or if you know and love a filmmaker, there's a really interesting crowd. I first heard about them, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 months ago. They're called Seed and Spark, and they have funded, at least to my knowledge now, they're not funding, but they are the place where you can raise money for the film that you are trying to make, one place you can raise money. And they've had a hand in making things happen for at least a couple of films I'm aware of here in Vermont. Green, which I think shot this summer sometime. It's all about a little kid and her effort to save the forest from encroaching lumber operation. And there's another one, and its name has just slipped my mind, too. Maybe somebody out there knows what I'm talking about. They'll give a call in. It's kind of like it's a gal buddy film, I understand. And it sounds like an absolutely fabulous thing, and that's going to be shot, I gather, here in Vermont, too. Ooh,
interesting.
Not too long from now. Pretty interesting to see, you know, when you can actually invest as a little guy. Maybe you've only got $20 to invest, you know. Maybe you only got $25 that you can spare, but you want to put it toward a piece of future that you really would like to see happen. Now there are avenues to do that.
This must be pretty new, because there's things like that out there that I've heard of, but now it's everywhere.
Yeah, it's pretty
cool.
And
I can think, what's that one that that's online sometimes? You mentioned it.
Kiva.
Then there's the other one.
It was GoFundMe.
There's
Kickstarter.
Yes. That's the one, and I was like, what is that? At first, I thought it was spam. I said, what in the world do you want money for, and what is this all about? And then I checked it out, checked with the person. No, it's legitimate. If you have some money, we have this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I have another buddy who's doing a documentary about, there's a wonderful old radio station, not old, a great radio station down in Boston during the 60s, 70s, early 80s, WBCN-FM. Those of you who have Boston roots will remember that wacky bunch starting, kicking off your day with Charles Lacordaire and the Big Mattress. Well, Bill Lichtenstein, who was an intern there way back when I was a kid, is doing a documentary, and it's called The American Revolution, and it's really about the way stations like BCN transformed modern radio. And he got his start with Kickstarter. That's how he started raising some money before he went to the regular channels. So it's something I like to follow a lot, and something I like to put when I have a spare change or change left over from my coffee. It goes into my little Let's Make a Movie jar.
Yeah, no, that's
pretty exciting.
Good. Another example of all the community stuff that can go out there, even if it's from community afar.
Yep. There's one. The one that I mentioned I know before, and then I'll get off the subject, but this is a crowd I really believe in. It's called Kiva, K-I-V-A. You can find them online as well. I started probably 8 years ago. I plunked down, I think it was like $8, into a Kiva account. And then what happens from that is, just like the Grameen Bank, they make little microloans out to people starting businesses. And in the beginning, it was businesses in third world countries. And so a woman who wanted to, you know, have an egg business would borrow 29 cents and buy a chicken and, you know, and then grow her business and pay it back. The repay rate on Kiva loans is upwards of 98%. And my little investment of $8 has mushroomed. It's now about $29. And I know it doesn't sound like much, but what happens in the meantime is things grow, things happen in those local communities. And of late, they've opened a way for local folks, American folks also, to set up projects, establish projects. And if you're an investor, you can invest in an American project if you so choose. Pretty cool that those little microfinancing arrangements that are out there now.
That's interesting. Were we talking about last week with Health Connect and such. That now, of course, but you can do, like you mentioned, Amazon. You can do these projects, GoFundMe and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So why isn't the Health Connect working?
You know, good question. That's the question I've been asking for 3 years now. If anybody's got an answer, we'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear from you anyway. 244-1777 or toll free 1-877-291-8255.
Back to school time, huh?
Yeah, it sure is. I know it. It's amazing. Of course, I was coming up by Bishop Marshall there on, you know, the bypass.
Sure. Yep.
I don't know what it bypassed this morning. It stopped pretty much dead in its tracks there.
Well, they're doing the work over there. by Bishop March, with some lane change. Yeah, I had to deal with that last week.
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't believe it. Well, I slammed in there late anyway because of something I had to do at home before I headed over this way. And I was in that traffic jam for, goodness, four cycles of cars stopping, and then they let a few go. And then, and I was really wondering if I was going
to
get here.
Yeah, probably better to do the Stagecoach Road.
Except you can't get through Katie's Falls at the moment.
Still out?
The bridge is going to be out until next week, I think, sometime.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Then maybe you should go up through Elmore.
Or just phone it in. Up through Elmore, that's a good idea.
Beautiful.
Oh, that's a great idea. And come down like through the Randolph Road. That's a good idea.
You can come down and you can come down right. Well, you can come down, go into Elmore, and then come right down into downtown Mooresville. That's route. So I have to remember, even though I take it almost every day. They're going to start paving that soon, but I think that's not till Wednesday.
Randolph Road, they've had trucks up there a couple of weeks, I guess.
Well, the main route, though.
The main route.
Between Worcester and Elmore.
Yep. The Worcester Woods you're talking about now. I love that road. That's great. I love that road in the wintertime. It's just beautiful.
It is nice. Well, it can be a challenge.
Well, if you go off the side, it's a challenge to get anybody's attention in the wintertime.
Yes,
I see only about three cars go through there an hour. But it's beautiful. It's just beautiful there.
Watch out for all the animals, because I almost hit a moose really close back. And I go slow, and now I'm going to even go slower when it's dark. So.
Yeah, going slow. That's a tricky business, going slow, you know, in the wintertime. You don't want to go so slow that you're causing accidents behind you.
Well, reasonable speed, I would say 45 through where it's moosey.
Moosey.
Because it gave me, that's the only thing
that's
that
your
saved
criterion.
Me. That's moosey. The only thing that saved me is not going too quick. Hey, we have a phone call, so
for a moment. Let's take that person. Give us a call if you have something to add to this general conversation, 244-1777 or toll free, 1-877-291-8255. Tom McLeod and I are sitting here with our second cups of coffee, just talking about the week ahead and the weekend just gone by, and we're happy to welcome Bill to the conversation. Bill from Barrie, you're on the air.
Well, good morning, Hefe. You were talking about Irene, what, how it was.
Yep.
And the other day I was watching television, and they were showing what was going on in... oh, my goodness.
Is Louisiana. You're talking about Louisiana, where they're having the big floods now? Yeah.
And what I was watching is the water had subsided, and they were putting the stuff out on the front lawn.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going down to Northfield and helping people, and the front lawn, we'd taken all kinds of stuff out of the basement, and then we had to take the drywall off and take it out, and that looked exactly the same.
Oh, it's just
pretty terrible. But
it's terrible.
There was no good about all of this. I mean, those people were pretty bad. I came down, a church group sent me down there to help them. And by the afternoon, there was about eight of us left. Most of them were their neighbors. The people, it was a mother. She had two grown-up children. One was the son living with her, and a daughter who lived down the street in an apartment on the second floor. Her apartment was okay, but they had to fix a way for her to get up there.
Oh, boy,
yeah. And her elementary school son was there with us, kind of helping people outside. He was very a trooper. Anyway, we were doing this, and it was about 3:30 in the afternoon. And everybody was getting kind of tired, and we were kind of finishing up the stuff. We had the basement completely empty with everything, no walls or anything in it. And a couple of girls came by with a wagon with goodies, you might say, sandwiches and juice, and oh, man. So I had a pickup. I pulled out my pickup to the tailgate, and a bunch of us sat on that. We were just sitting around, and the people, the lady and her kids were thanking us so much for what we were doing. And I was sitting there thinking, and so I had to say, don't thank us. We thank you. I'm going to leave here, go to my home on top of a hill in Barrie, and you have to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
What they have done for us, this is what I played sports in school.
Yeah.
But, and I don't say this was more fun than playing sports.
But it had that team.
Lot more satisfying.
Yep, and that team, that camaraderie thing, you know, which is one of the things some of us who have absolutely no athletic ability or physical coordination still value about things
it
like school
terrific.
Sports.
It was terrific. The neighbors were terrific. I mean, everybody was pulling together. It was, something. They taught me a skill.
What's the skill?
I like to do woodwork and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I've learned. Well, I went to Waterbury too and did some of that. And removing drywall.
Removing drywall. That is a useful skill.
And especially what is the hardest about drywall is the corners.
Really? Why is the corner so tricky?
You take the middle down.
Yeah.
I have a good size crowbar. You rip it out.
Yeah.
But then when you get to the corners, somebody came up with a smaller crowbar and we could, because they had to get the thing and pull.
Oh, I see what you're saying now. Yeah. I hadn't thought about
so
that.
You learn things
mm-hmm.
that you never knew before. I probably never have to use that skill again, but.
Oh, God helping.
I hope that doesn't happen again. But, yeah, it did more for me than any football game that I ever played.
I hear you, Bill. I really do. You learn things you didn't know before, and you make friends you didn't have before, and you all pull together on a project that really needs some doing. And I think that's really, that's the upside of these kinds of circumstances, isn't it?
Yes. And, I mean, I gained more than you know, they did. I gained a whole lot more mm-hmm. than they did.
Well.
So, but I hope. And all the good stuff that's happened in Waterbury. I went by not too long ago. There was nobody home. And I knocked at the door of a neighbor's. And they said that they were doing fine. But, you know, I wish I had been able to catch them.
Yeah.
But I hope everybody is doing fine. We had a story was in Rochester.
Yeah.
The things that they are doing in Rochester.
Yeah.
So things can be better.
Yes,
my only thought was... And a lot of this stuff in Louisiana was really, a lot of those people aren't going to be able to rebuild. And I wouldn't want to rebuild at least the same way as it was before. Now, what they've done in Waterbury with the state complex is make it much better, much floodproof.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, Bill, thanks so much for calling. I love to hear from you every week, and I hope you'll be calling us again next week. We've been talking about the aftermath of Hurricane Irene, or excuse me, Tropical Storm Irene, although, you know, what difference does it make what we're calling it at this point? You know, it was devastating for an awful lot of people. I know young couples whose farms literally rinsed off the riverbanks, and then other folks who suffered terrible flood damage, had to rebuild, tear stuff down. And then the other side of that, though, was bringing people out of their own little closed worlds to help one another, and the great sense of community spirit that rustled itself up for at least a few days anyway. And for some of us, it sort of carried on. I remember sitting that night on the couch in my mother's house. I was kind of keeping up with her. And listening to WDEV and on my Twitter account relaying factoids as they were coming out of this radio station, because some folks didn't have radios but had their phones and had Twitter. And I guess there are a bunch of us out there who are doing that, trying to spread the word of what we knew about what was happening, you know, using the new media.
Yeah, no, it was an amazing time. And I remember when that started, when we knew it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
But there was some debate about how far up Vermont, up through New England,
yeah.
it would come. And Roger Hill was kind of going out on the limb compared to some of the other forecasters and saying, well, you know, here's what many are saying, but here's another scenario.
Mm.
And the thought was among some community members is fear-monger.
There was I don't remember that part, but
well,
refresh memory.
Then when the storm came and did basically what Roger said it was going to do,
mm-hmm.
then, of course, that was forgotten.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to, there's always that balance of when there is a big nor'easter or potential weather, that it's better to try to get the information out and then mm-hmm. be ready for it. And I do remember some of the TV broadcasts where they showed emergency management over at Waterbury ready to go. Everybody was in place. Well, that flooded, and things just got
mm-hmm.
out of control. And, yes, WDEV, a great night for the station. I was one of the only sources you really could find
That's
who was
right.
equipped
yep.
to handle it, and just hanging on with the generator and filling it up with fuel, and Tom Beardsley and Eric Michaels,
yeah.
and so many people then and after.
Yeah, yeah.
We almost lost Ken that night. A tree fell down right in front of his car.
I didn't realize that.
On
Gracious.
The way down through here,
Holy
just to
heaven.
See how things were going on. I can't remember. I think over around Waterbury Center.
Yikes. That was a tough time. You know, that business of fear-mongering and trying to strike that balance between letting people know what they needed to know and overblowing it, as we see so often happen on television stations I will not name. It is a tricky balance, but you know what I also think? I also think that Americans have gotten a little bit too thin-skinned about that stuff, too. I mean, you know, there was a time when we didn't get all in a swivet over even what looked like a terrible storm coming. You know, people are just too eager. Maybe it's picking up on some of the screeching that comes out of the media box. You know, those guys don't have anything to do, but in order to keep you paying attention from one commercial break to the next, they got to screech and scream about something.
Yeah, there's sometimes on some stations, even stations I enjoy watching from time to time, but breaking news, is it really breaking news, or is it just, hey, wake up, we have an important commercial coming on, can you please pay attention?
And the endless grinding of it, too, the endless chewing it and chewing it and chewing it until there's nothing left of it at all.
Breaking news to me is some big weather event or some terrible event, but not breaking news. Here's the latest from the Kardashian
family. Breaking news. Here's the news we gave you 3.5 minutes ago that you might have missed because you were tuned out because you'd heard it before already.
But as always, Roger and everybody, what a great job they did. And I remember, too, being at home was the only time I have different weather instruments, storm glass.
Cool.
And they were all, I've never seen them. They were just overflowing.
Wow.
The needle for one barometric thing was way over. And I said, and we were lucky because I live in Montpelier. We had problems, but it came about to Waterbury, and I remember hearing Roger and Eric and everybody, and you could see the storm was coming into Waterbury, getting towards Middlesex, and then it didn't come any further north and northeast through Vermont. I was, phew, and then, of course, because things in Montpelier weren't too bad in a lot of spots, I couldn't even imagine when I was driving over towards from Middlesex down where the landfill area is and all around that route, Route 2, and then into Waterbury, it was just...
Oh, and down toward Rutland, too. I remember I had to go down to Rutland about 2 days after the storm. I was down there on business, and I couldn't believe it. I mean, the road I usually took, it was like Cookie Monster had come and just taken a big chomp, chomp right out of it, right to the center line. It was something else again.
Yeah, so it just being down in Montpelier, Middlesex, about a 10-minute drive, just the difference, that line.
Yeah.
And probably a good thing that it didn't stay over the state any longer than it did.
Yeah, it's true. You are listening to Open Mic, in case we hadn't mentioned that in the last half hour. Hester Fuller is my name. I'm here with Tom McLeod, and we're waiting for your calls, 244-1777, or call us toll-free, 1-877-291-8255. It's truly an Open Mic morning, as we do most Monday mornings. We'd love to hear what's on your mind, what you're thinking about, what you think we should be paying attention to this week. 244-1777 or toll-free 1-877-291-8255. Hey, you know, we were talking about films a little while ago, and Vermont films coming up tomorrow night in Stowe. Jay Craven's going to be showing his latest. It's going to be on the screen down there at Stowe Town Hall, or the Akeley Building, I guess they call it, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, it's going to be good. And he'll be there, too, to answer your questions and talk about it. Sounds like it'll be good. The screening starts at 7 o'clock, or the evening starts at 7 o'clock. Not quite sure when the screening actually begins. But he's going to introduce the film, and he'll lead a question and answer after the fact. And I think there are tickets, so you might want to get up online, go to kingdomcounty.org, and go check that out. Always interested to see the things that Jay does.
Yeah, that's interesting. We talked to him on Open Mic. It was probably Mike, back in the late winter, early spring when he was just getting the filming going.
Yeah.
So it's nice it's all come together. And
yeah, it should be good.
Of course, then the pressures, he talks about the benefits of being small and independent, but then the trouble.
Yeah, no question. That's when it's good to have community, you know, be able to pull together the resources of your whole bunch.
Had some great, Kris Kristofferson, different people in his movies. Of course, we're lucky enough to have Rusty DeWeese and George Woodard and all the different local folks, but then some of the big names nationally that have come through.
They're pretty big names.
Well, of course, we know that, though. There are names.
But, there are names.
You know, Kris Kristofferson, great writer, a man who would do everything. And I wouldn't say he's necessarily, other than a songwriter, he's not the world's greatest singer, but he makes it his own. And he'd be the first to tell you that, probably.
Yeah, it's true. There's a lot going on in the area of filmmaking up here. You know, David Rocchio, who was up here, was on here, about 3 weeks ago, six weeks ago? A while ago, yeah.
On assignment.
We got to get him back in here, because I think this is getting around to be the time of one of his story labs in the Doc Day. And I'd like to get him in here and talk a bit more about what he's doing up there. That's a really interesting project, Stowe Story Labs. It's a kind of a little incubator for folks who have ideas, want to make good films, and want to get them made and get them seen. And we'll try to get him back in here as well. Right now, this is Open Mic here on WDEV. Our phone number is 244-1777 or toll-free 1-877-291-8255.
Now, your friend Ian Grant.
Yep.
Another interesting thing that happened, this happened, I remember when that ledge in Montpelier collapsed. This was about 10, 15 years ago. Oh, it's wow. over a, and that rained down over by Elm Street. And but a lot of animals reacted to that before it happened. Looks like you have to cough first. Do you have to cough?
No, I'm good. Sure.
Okay, you covered your mouth. So.
Well, I have my cough drop here.
Okay. You and I both. And so
well,
that
my
happened.
Cough drop is this little box for people who can't actually see what's in here.
Oh, okay, yeah, I see
and
that.
And I can push the little black
the mute,
button.
Mute mic thing.
I think it makes me go away.
No, it does.
Yeah.
It just did.
So I can
not
snort
everybody
and
knows that's there. We got to remind. And the other time there was how animals react to natural events way before we know it. Like they say in when they had the big tsunami, a lot of animals ran away. They ran away. Couldn't find them. So I see
uphill.
Their call, so
uphill.
Anywhere.
Wow.
Away from the ocean.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Those critters, they know things we don't know, and we ought to be paying more attention. I really think so. Yes, indeed. Well, Tom's fielding a guest, a call coming in. Looking forward to hearing from him. And we'd like to hear from you, too, 244-1777, or call us toll-free, 1-877-291-8255. That'll put you on open mic with me. I'm Hester Fuller and Tom McLeod, across the glass. We're going to be on the air until 11 o'clock this morning, and we'd sure like to hear what's important to you on this Monday morning, the last Monday morning in the month of August. Fred from Newbury, hi, how you been this week?
Oh, pretty good, I guess.
What's up?
Hey, I got a question. What do you think the Iranians have to win or lose if they attack one of our warships in the Persian Gulf with either gunfire or get within, say, 100 meters of the boat?
Well, I'll tell you what, Fred, I haven't given that any thought at all. So why don't you tell me what you think is going to happen? What do you think they'll get out of it?
I mean, I think that's a $64,000 question.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they attack one of our warships, that's an act of war.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get within, say, 200 or 300 yards of our warship, we're going to be forced to defend the warship by shooting back.
We are.
And that would probably be considered an act of war.
Well, I would think so. We'd be in deep doo-doo by then, wouldn't we?
Well, wait a minute now. An act of war, okay?
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we can go to war, right?
Well, we can respond and defend ourselves. Yes, we
can. That's exactly right. We can respond and defend ourselves, but we don't have to go to war, right? And so my question is, do you think we would have a president in the future that would consider that an act of war and go to Congress and ask Congress to declare war against the country that attacked one of our warships?
I would think so. I think that's in the playbook.
So you think they would?
Oh, yeah, I do. Don't you?
Very interesting.
Yeah, Well, thanks for the interesting and thought-provoking question. I appreciate it, Fred. Give us a call anytime you like, 244-1777 or toll-free, 1-877-291-8255. Jerry from Berlin, you're on open mic.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I have one question.
Sure.
And it's going to be quick, and then I'm going to hang up and listen to your answer.
Uh-oh.
Governor Shumlin, he's on his way out. He's going to Boston, and then to Mexico, and then to Las Vegas. Who's paying for it?
Good question. Do you know?
I'm going to hang up, and I'll listen to your answer.
Okay, well, I don't really have an answer. I hadn't really given much thought to Mr. Shumlin's post-administrative plans or what kind of vacation he's expecting to take or on whose nickel. If you've got a theory, you can give us a call, 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. David from Burlington, you're on the air.
Good morning. Just read something recently about a gathering at the Fletcher Free Library in Burlington to discuss advising our city council on the issue of welcoming Syrian refugees. Burlington.
Really? Tell us more. I didn't know about that.
And I thought recently, this reminds me just a little bit of the El Salvador days when Burlington became, in essence, a sanctuary city. And
do you know when that gathering is supposed to be?
I think it's coming right up. Next day or two.
Next day
should
or two?
Should be pretty easy to find online.
Yeah, it should be if I'd only brought my iPad into the studio with me. I got my phone here, so I'll see if I can figure that out. Do you know who's sponsoring it?
I don't, and I apologize. I'm not
That's okay.
at
no.
a computer either.
Great great to have a lead. It's a gathering to discuss welcoming Syrian refugees to Burlington, and you think it's going to be happening at the Fletcher Free Library?
Yes, and I believe there's something coming up in the city council soon.
Okay.
About a possible resolution.
Well, that's something we should follow up here, and I will pass that on to the news department as well. So I really appreciate that, David. Thank you very much.
These days, I'm so captivated by the national presidential race that I tend to forget there are, in many ways, more interesting things happening here in Vermont and that I should pay attention.
Well, I know, but the presidential race, I mean, it's captivating the way a road accident is captivating, you know?
Very much so, yeah.
Well, one thing for sure, no matter who wins or loses in November, the rest of us will still be here, and I think those are the ones we can always count on anyway, so I'm not going to worry too much, although I certainly have my preferences coming up in November. David, thank you for calling us from Burlington this morning. Rama from Williamstown, I thought we'd hear from you today. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Actually, I just called up because I was kind of intrigued by the call regarding Iran.
Yeah.
And going after U.S. naval vessels.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I've appreciated about Obama as a president is his thoughtfulness and the fact that he doesn't just shoot from the hip, so to speak. And, it's important. When you look around, there's complexity involved in all of these governments, and the forces that are pushing these boats out to be provocative against the U.S. Navy may not represent the immediate Iranian government as such, but could be more. I mean, the general thinking actually is that this is the Revolutionary Guards pushing an issue, trying to raise a little stink.
I thought they were the Iranian Navy, though.
Well, it's the Revolutionary Guard controls a whole line of the military.
So are they doing this with an eye toward creating trouble domestically?
Probably somewhat, yeah, some of that. And I mean, face it, most politics is meant to affect the domestic, but by influencing how the international affairs go, you affect how the people will react inside. I mean, Iranians are no more... They're just as likely to react from fear of something as anybody in this country is,
sure.
too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's, you know, a lot of that is to build up this domestic politics in Iran, I'm sure, but a lot of it is also to flex muscle by different parts of the Iranian hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, it's a complex story, and it's an interesting one. Ships moving and how we might react if something happened to us and what the motives are, really, of the people who are pushing those boats around out there.
Well, it's also, I mean, think how we might act if Iran was sending boats just a couple miles off our shore.
Yep.
You know, so there's a lot of complexities, but you know, the fact that they come zooming in at our ships like they do is no reason to go to war, and I'm glad because quite frankly, is there are enough people in high locations of our government who would love to use this as a pretext to militarily attack Iran. So.
Well, we have a president who's a little bit cooler head than that, which is good,
and we should be thankful for
and
that.
And I hope we're going to have a cool head prevailing. As well, after January 15th or 21st or whatever the day is.
Yep.
We'll see. Rama, thanks so much for your call. Good luck with your meeting this week.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Bye. Keep us posted. Gene from Barrie, good morning. You're on open mic.
Good morning, Esther.
How are you doing today? What a beautiful day.
Oh, yeah. Did you know that we got a person running for president that's going through bankruptcy?
Well, I had heard rumors. Tell us more.
Well, I haven't heard anything on the radios. I haven't heard anything on any TV channels except for Channel 5 last Wednesday. They said that Trump has filed for bankruptcy in debt of $950 million.
That's more money
listen
than...
Listen to this. Wow. He says he's worth $11 billion with a B. So why doesn't he pay it? But they said a lot of his business are going under, and we know he's... A lot of his casinos are closed, and he's being sued at his university.
Yeah.
So if he can't run his business, how can he run the country?
Well, you know, that's a question that certainly has crossed my mind more than once.
I've asked this with different people, and they never heard about it.
Yeah, well, there's got to be some kind of reason for that. But, yeah, I certainly have heard that...
You know what I think, Gene? About Hillary, why didn't she bring this up?
Well, I think she does bring it up, but you know what? I think there's two things going on there. One... A lot of those businesses that have his name on it, he's basically licensed his name, and other people are actually on the hook for the cash.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, it sounds to me, as we learn more and more about his business dealings in the past, that this might be kind of a business strategy for him in some ways.
Yeah, I don't think he's as rich as he tries to tell.
Well, I think that's the one thing you're not supposed to investigate.
And there's another show that was on Sunday of last week, not yesterday, four or five different men. This was Channel 5, I think, too. Mm-hmm. And they've known Trump, you know, I guess someone went to school with him.
Uh-huh.
So they said he's the man that always has to win.
Mm.
And if he doesn't, he's got that old standby. You know what it is. If
what?
He doesn't win, it's rigged.
It's rigged. Yeah, well, you see him laying the groundwork for that defense for, you know, going down in flames in November.
So I think people should stop and think. They're putting down, oh, they're so against Hillary. She's lying and lying and lying. Of course, Trump would never lie.
Well, heavens no.
But they've caught him in different lies anyway.
Oh, yeah, I know. And the thing is, we're all too smart for that, you know?
For his taxes and stuff.
Oh, crazy. But you know what? We're all too smart for that, though. So he's not going to get away with that much farther than November the 8th or whatever it is.
No, they're going to bring out stuff, you know, little by little, probably, on him, too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But we know who would be the best president anyway.
Well, I know who I know what my opinion is. I think I know what your opinion is, too, Gene, but I'm not going to give you away.
No. Okay,
great talking to you. Call us again, won't you? Gene from Barry, calling as she often does, 244-1777 or toll-free 1-877-291-8255. We'll put you on the air on open mic. We got news coming up in a bit, but we got to do some business right now. So let's pause and do some commercials, and we'll come back on WDEV's open mic. Good morning and welcome back. This is Open Mic on WDEV. Hester Fuller is my name, and I'm here with Tom McLeod until 11 o'clock. We're welcoming your phone calls, 244-1777 or toll-free 1-877-291-8255. What are you thinking about this morning? What are they talking about at the store where you live? Let us know. We're on the air until 11 this morning, at which time Bill Sayre will be here, as he is every weekday morning at 11 for Common Sense Radio. The question today, how will the climate change issue affect the election campaigns for governor and for the legislature here in Vermont? Rob Roper, Bill Sayre, exploring that issue this morning on Common Sense Radio, brought to you by the Ethan Allen Institute, beginning this morning at 11 o'clock. We've got about 4 minutes before news time here. Tom and I are here. It's been interesting to hear what people have been chatting about this morning, the kinds of things that people like to bring up. And I appreciate the good humor and the good spirits and the folks thinking about the issues of the day and sharing it with us as well.
Absolutely. It's interesting. They've had a lot of stuff about John F. Kennedy on to be around the time, I think, of the 100th birthday.
Oh, my Lord. Is that,
which
I
is,
guess
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. And then I think there's that, but then also the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yeah.
And, of course, you have that thing, you know, the tensions going on with those boats and Iranian boats and stuff, which would be interesting to ask whoever's with us from Talk Media News as they've been bouncing around the rotation to see if there's any, what's the latest.
You mean are people hearing echoes of 62
well,
and
no,
what's
not,
happening?
Not that, but just what's the latest, but it's just interesting timing with a lot of people's mind on those tough days of when someone makes a move, what next?
Yeah.
And it's not just this. There's been those jets that were... the Russian jets that were, this was about 6 months or so, that they were kind of zooming over these, just trying to up the ante a little bit. What are you going to do next?
Yeah.
And not always kind of scary to think of what could happen next.
Yeah,
so.
I know. It takes a cool head to do this job. It really, it does. And I think we know who has a cool head and who does not have a cool head. It's tough. So wait a minute. Ooh, what's happening with my little, there we go. Here we go. So do you have plans for the upcoming Labor Day weekend?
I do not. Not yet.
Oh, that's a nice statement.
I know. That kind of... Well, there goes that topic of conversation, but...
I've only got 2 minutes.
Yes.
Better
now,
be
how
short
about
plans.
Yourself? Are you harvesting or anything?
I am getting the most outrageous, insane tomatoes out of my garden. My little dinky 4-foot by 8-foot garden full of alpaca poo and good Vermont dirt is producing me probably 100 tomatoes the size of softballs. They're unbelievably great.
It seems to be a great growing season.
Yeah,
and when we have
so.
In the garden with Ed Smith on Saturday afternoons, it seems when it comes to blueberries and such, things have been great. The corn, but a great growing season.
Yeah.
Strange winter, but a great growing season.
I know. And
so
the Pennsylvania
far.
Peaches this year have been just out of this world. They've just been great. I go right past, I guess they call themselves Slice of Earth Farm right there on Route 15 in Wolcott now. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Those peaches, fantastic. Just fantastic. And wonderful. All kinds of good stuff. Good baked goods, good pies, good breads. Just tremendous. And it's all coming. The bounty of the earth. And it's all coming to true now. This time of year, it's really, really terrific. Yeah, Labor Day weekend. I don't know. I call it Labor Day because that's when I do all my start my fall labors, you know, cleaning out the garden. Well, I don't clean out the garden, not the vegetable garden yet, but some of the early spring and summer flower beds are ready to go. Go night-night. So I'll be doing probably some of that. Probably dyeing some more yarn this weekend, too.
Yeah, I've seen some of those online. Those it looks very nice.
It's pretty nice
stuff you're doing up there.
Well, you know, the alpacas make it easy. The alpacas, the alpaca wool is just unreal. It's just so soft and so beautiful.
It's very courteous to you up there. They help fertilize the garden.
They do.
And they help with.
Yep, they pay their own way. They really do. And then you know, they're also just plain beautiful as well. Well, we're looking at the top of the hour coming up, and I know there'll be theme music coming up underneath me if I don't hurry up and get on with this. WDEV welcomes you here at AM 550 in Waterbury. Also at 96.1, broadcasting from the top of Sugar Bush, Warren and Waitsfield, and from 96.5 FM in Barrie. WDEV News Radio also comes your way over the independently owned airwaves of 101.9 FM in Island Pond. Hester Fuller is my name. I'll be back on the other side of our newscast. We'll be talking to our friends from Talk Media News in Washington, finding out what's going on there, and then we'll welcome your calls as well. You're part of the conversation, a very important part of the conversation here on Open Mic every weekday morning from 9 to 11 right here on WDEV. See you on the other side. Good morning and welcome back to Open Mic here on WDEV News Radio. Hester Fuller is my name with you for one more hour until 11 o'clock, at which time Bill Sayre and Rob Roper will join us for Common Sense Radio. This week, the topic: climate change. How will the climate change issue affect the election campaigns for governor and legislature here in Vermont? Rob Roper and Bill Sayre explore that issue this morning at 11 o'clock on Common Sense Radio, brought to you by the Ethan Allen Institute. Right now, though, it's time to turn our eyes southward, and I do not mean White River Junction. I mean Washington, D.C., and Luke from Talk Media News is with us. Good morning, Luke.
Hey, good morning. Actually, in New York City.
Oh, you're in New York
UN
City.
Headquarters well, this morning.
You know, once you get past Boston, all that South stuff looks pretty much the same way. What's on your mind this morning? What's going on?
Well, kind of an interesting story here that I'm surprised, in some respects, hasn't gotten more coverage. But then again, most of the Washington press corps is off on vacation. August is sort of the lean month for most political reporters, with Congress out of session. And the day's political rallies haven't really begun yet, so Donald Trump hasn't had a shot at this yet. But we are hearing from Germany over the weekend, the German economic minister announcing that TTIP, which your listeners may know as the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, it is sort of the sister deal to the TPP, is dead in the water, at least according to the German finance minister. He came out, spoke to the German press yesterday, and dropped sort of a bombshell, saying that after 14 rounds of negotiations, that not a single one of the 27 areas where they were looking to find common ground on this free trade deal had netted any agreement, which is really bad.
That's really amazing. Now, this is something that's not even near the stage of being brought to Congress yet, right? I mean, assuming we're part of it.
We can contrast this to the TPP, which was the final language was settled on between the U.S. and these 11 Pacific Rim countries last October, and since then has sort of just been sitting on Mitch McConnell's desk, and he has decided not to bring it up for a vote before the next president is sworn into office, which is, I guess, not all that surprising in some respects, though it does mark, and we've talked about this in the past, you know, a real change in the free trade issue, which for a long time was viewed as sort of a rare spot of, you know, sort of bipartisan agreement that free trade was at the top of the Republican and Democratic agendas. And we've seen a pretty big 180 this year, where you've got both presidential candidates to varying degrees of our own perceived, you know, how earnest they are about actually carrying that out.
Sure.
In the case of Hillary Clinton, we think she may change tune on this if she's in office. But we have a lot more bipartisan opposition now. And I think for a long time we had looked at this TTIP deal, this one that we were negotiating with the European Union, and when we started talks on this about 3-odd years ago, you know, we were saying, what better international partner out there is there than the European Union for us to go into these complex negotiations with? I mean, at that time, Brexit was just beginning to pop up on the calendar. The European Union seemed was not yet divided as it is now on the issue of refugees. That looked like it would be relatively clean cut, and it's proved to be anything but that. And so
Let me ask you something. So, yeah, just recapping for listeners who just joined us: 14 rounds in, 27 points where they thought they might be able to find some agreement, and there is no agreement. What are the objections that the participating nations are raising?
Well, in a broad sense, and it's bear in mind, the European Union officials negotiate on behalf of the individual countries.
Right.
And so, and they are supposed to be secret about this. So we don't hear a lot of the objections unless a country is terribly vocal about it. I mean, we've heard objections from the French cheese industry in the past. The French film industry also objects to some of these restrictions. In broad terms, there are two areas of frustration. One is more generalized, which is, this is a service economy agreement. You know, unlike many trade deals of the past, which were about natural resources, about, you know, the steel industry, old school commodities, you know, and there was a willingness on the part of the U.S. to say, hey, you know, we're not going to have be the leader in steel forever, so we're willing to, you know, change our tariff structure and allow more competition in those domains. There's a lot less willingness, particularly, in, or there was in Great Britain and France and Germany and other Scandinavian countries, to opening up their service industries, which they really see as, you know, the best shot for those economies and those populations, to more foreign competition. And a lot of, you know, the TTIP in particular would subject a lot of these countries to having to harmonize their visas with other countries so that you could bring in, let's say, more Indian doctors or more Chinese software engineers and the like. And they're, you know, it sort of makes sense. And in one, when you talk about, you know, which political factions have more clout, they're the folks who are arguing on behalf of white-collar workers, more educated with higher salaries, who are in these service industries, they're putting up much more of a stink these days than the blue-collar trade unions are able to do. And so that's one broad opposition. And the other one, you know, is really just sort of the problem we're having with trade deals right now, and that they are so complex, they take up so much time, and the secrecy element is really starting to bug a lot of European countries, which is that, you know, that's why we've had WikiLeaks and other organizations putting out, essentially sponsoring people to leak these chapters. The public is very concerned about what it's reading about the lack of transparency. Sure. And in particular, what people in Europe are really frustrated with is they just got a look at the Canadian-European Union free trade deal. And in it, there are these provisions, which was sort of going to be used as a model for this one. And they saw in this deal all these provisions for these sort of secret courts where, you know, a company, a multinational company, could sue a European Union government over some sort of trade infraction, and none of it would ever be public. There were lots of concerns that, you know, executives could get away with crimes by having those cases take place within the secret court. And, you know, those sort of stick up for their interests in a way that a typical criminal court would not. And so,
but we stress that, that's in a different,
which are already concerned about privacy, and they said, no way do we want even tougher, more secretive versions of those sorts of arrangements that we expect are in the TTIP.
Just to, and just to clarify, the secret courts that you're talking about are in another agreement entirely, and people just see that as a potential model and worry that those kinds of things might be put into the TTIP as well. Is that, am I getting that correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. Okay. I mean, there we believe there are those equivalents in the TTIP. There are equivalents of these sort of corporate arbitration courts already in the Pacific Partnership. And so there, this increasingly looks to be something that these, you know, big multinational corporations want to see in these trade agreements. And you know, some of the reasons for having those courts are quite valid. I mean, they want to be able to have quick, to have their, you know, grievances addressed quickly. And they don't want to wait for, you know, sort of national courts, which are bogged down with all sorts of other matters. They want a fast track way of blocking a new regulation or some sort of trade interference. On the other hand, people have seen the secrecy of those courts to be quite a big risk and a subversion of the transparency process that is all the more valued in some of these Western European countries. So, you know, for those, there are a lot of reasons there. And then on top of it, you throw in this sort of destabilization that has occurred throughout the European Union now after Brexit, and they are just looking less and less like a negotiating bloc that is able to vouch for unanimous for these sorts of things.
Well, that must also raise the salience of the employment issue, which is so big here in terms of domestic objection to some of these things. I mean, the business slides downhill toward the lowest wages, and now you don't have the unified bloc of countries.
So suffice it to say, it's you know, an issue I think we'll hear Donald Trump harp on about, saying, "Look, once again, you know, the strong opposition to these poorly negotiated free trade deals has risen up and stopped the Obama administration from from, you know, slam dunking one on top of the American worker. There's definitely more nuance than that. Mm-hmm. I think there are more valid objections from the American labor industry to the TPP than there are to TTIP. But mm-hmm. nevertheless, I mean, it's just this was the sort of 1-2 punch that the Obama administration thought they were going to be able to negotiate mm-hmm. In the face of a, you know, staunchly a Congress that doesn't want to help out with any other items on the agenda. Mm-hmm. And so here we are with these two deals that they expected to conclude negotiations of and then actually, you know, enact before the end of the term. And it's pretty clear now that neither of those is going to happen.
Well, Luke, thank you very much for bringing that to our attention. It is a situation that certainly bears watching, and we look forward to speaking with our friends at Talk Media News every morning at about this time. So thanks very much for calling us from New York City.
Thank you. Take care.
Take care. Luke's last name.
Fergus.
Okay. It is now, what are we looking at here, about 10:15 already, and we're going to take a little break and be back right after these words on Open Mic. Good morning and welcome back to Open Mic on WDEV News Radio. Hester Fuller is my name, and I'm here until 11 o'clock with my buddy Tom McLeod, who's also here, and we're taking your calls. We want to hear what you want to talk about this morning. 244-1777, 1-877-291-8255. Man, we've been all over the map this morning. We started out talking about the new school year. Still love to hear from some folks who are maybe sending off a first little one to their very first big day of school today. Love to hear what your thoughts are. Or maybe you've got a senior who's heading out and beginning of the last year of regular high school. Love to hear from you. Got a student down at one of the tech centers, one of my favorite places. Always got to put a plug in for the tech centers. They are just the unsung gem of Vermont public education, are those darn tech centers. I think they're unbelievably great. And love to hear more about your student and what they're doing. If you've got one, give us a call, 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. What else we covered? Boy, we covered all kinds of ground this morning, Tom, didn't we?
All different locations. And, of course, you taught at Linden, right?
I taught at Linden.
Missed you when I got there in 95.
Yeah, I just left in 94.
So you must have known I was coming.
I didn't know you were coming, or I would have stayed, Tom.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Amy McGovern was there. Remember Amy, who used to be here?
Yes, absolutely. She must have been just ahead of me.
She was a student of mine, actually.
So that brings up the topic of there's the merger. Johnson and Linden.
Yeah, you know, I have not heard too much. I'd love to hear what people think of that, and I'd love to hear from folks who have a stake in that merger one way or the other. Maybe you work there, maybe you have a friend who's an employee there, or a close friend, or someone who helps bring home the bacon for your household. Love to hear from you. Maybe you got a student there. What do you think? The impending or proposed merger of Linden and Johnson. And I guess they're going to maintain both campuses, Jeb Spalding said. But somehow unite their administrations, I guess, in some way.
Yeah, the final, in the next couple of weeks, it was late August where he said that he was going to come. They had another announcement about that is due in late August, late September.
Late September.
Because we're in late August now. Good morning, Tom. Happy Monday to you.
How did that happen, though? Jeez. Late August. Ugh, just barely set my starters out in my little dinky garden, and here we are. End of August already. Labor Day weekend coming up. You got any plans? Give us a call. Tell us. What do you think? What are good things to do? Or if you were going to make suggestions to out-of-staters who are going to come up here for their Labor Day weekend, what do you think is a really great one-day or two-day Vermont junket that we might send some folks on? Give us a call, 244-1777 or toll-free 1-877-291-8255. I'm thinking of the state parks. I'm thinking how fabulous they are. What a great time it is to get a kayak or a tent or something and go take yourself off and live wild for a couple of days in one of Vermont's beautiful, beautiful park areas. Give us a call at 244-1777 or toll-free 1-877-291-8255. Microphones are open, and we are looking forward to hearing what's on your mind this morning. Ah, Zena from Barry is calling. Good morning. Is it Zera or Zena?
Zena.
Hi. How are you today?
I talked to you a few months ago.
Yes, I remember.
Regarding my family members being in medical school in Cuba.
Uh-huh.
Well, I did talk to her. I made my annual trip out to California. where my daughter and son-in-law and grandson are.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter's half-sister, Mira, is quite willing to talk to WDEV about these things, and I can give you her contact information.
Well, tell you what, we don't want to do that over the air because she might get plagued with a lot of phone calls she really didn't want to
have. That's right. That's what I was you said it before. I was going to say that I'll give it to your staff.
Okay, that might be, yeah, you might want to call the main office. What's going on where you are right now?
Oh, here in Barrytown?
Yeah, what's the news in Barrytown?
Not a lot happening.
Well, that's good.
I have a tiny little garden that a friend planted for me with her leftover plants.
Yeah.
And it's actually producing now. I'm eating tomatoes and squash and lettuce and all these things. And it didn't take but a very small amount of land.
That's pretty neat. How big is your garden? I'm curious, because I got a teeny one, too.
I don't know. I haven't measured it in square feet.
Well, is it as big as your kitchen table, say?
Oh, no. It's, I guess, about the size of a good-sized kitchen.
A good-sized kitchen. That's a big garden in my
book. Yeah. Well, I have a 12 tomato plants.
Wow.
And two-thirds of them are baby tomatoes.
The little guys?
The little guys,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, they're so sweet. Aren't those good?
Yeah. And of those, one of the little ones is the golden ones that are ripe when they're golden.
Mm-hmm.
And those are great. Those are low acid.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Then I have two beet plants, and then actually there's, she dug up an area. This is a friend who lives in Plainfield, who has multiple disabilities.
Uh-huh.
But she's a fantastic gardener. And what had just been grass in the back area, she turned into a flower garden. And also that's where the cucumbers and squash are happening.
That's fantastic. That sounds like a really great little project. And it's nice to just be able to step off your back step and pick up lunch, isn't it?
Well, it is. And my backyard has... And recently I've been hearing about this being recommended, how to turn your backyard into a, be attractive to wildlife.
Oh.
And I don't have a lot of land here. I have almost 3/10 of an acre,
mm-hmm.
2800s.
Uh-huh.
And it was mostly just grass in the back when I bought this house in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it now is stuff I've planted, a few shrubs and perennials, but a lot of it is trees that I just have allowed to grow up.
Nice.
I love my backyard. It's beautiful. It's cool when it's hot out, and of course it's contributing to all the greenery is sucking in carbon dioxide.
That's
and producing
right.
oxygen.
Do you have any chickens?
I don't.
You ever thought about having a chicken back there?
No. I'm a vegetarian, and I mostly don't eat eggs. So,
okay. They're just great companions is all I'm thinking. You know, they're hilariously funny to watch.
I have heard that. There is someone... right in my neighborhood, though, who does keep chickens and mm-hmm. has a little sign out front for how much it is for a dozen eggs.
Yeah, yeah. So well, they're great.
It's
you know,
kind of on the edge. We're very close to Barry City here.
Yeah.
But we are in the town I'm here in the town by about a block and a half. I pay taxes and sewer to the town and water to the city.
Well... And you've got a little backyard garden, and it's right—you know—just not that big, but just perfect, huh?
I like it.
I think that sounds great, Xenia, and I really appreciate hearing about it. It's good to hear what people are doing with their backyards, and especially when they got a garden with, two beet plants and a bunch of tomatoes. I think that sounds like a pretty good harvest to me. Thank you so much for calling us, and give us a call anytime, Xenia from Barrytown. Glad to hear from you, and glad to hear about your garden. How about your garden? You want to give us a call and tell us what you got going out there? 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. You know, Tom, earlier this summer, I had the great pleasure of going up to Pete's Greens in my hometown. My niece had brought a bunch of folks up from New York City. They're doing a study. They're mapping economic systems in different industries, and they decided to look at Vermont agriculture. So they came up and spent a long weekend up where I live. And one of the things we did on Sunday morning, we went over to Pete's Greens, and Pete himself gave us a tour of his operation, took us into one of these enormous greenhouses, their big hoop house that he's got, and we saw his tomato plantation. It was just enormous, and he's got them all growing up strings, you know, like 20-foot long strings. And he led us way down and back there, was answering questions of the folks who'd come up from New York. And we're all standing around next to each of us, kind of standing near a tomato plant. And he said, "Go on, help yourself." And we're standing in there plucking them off. They look like little Christmas ornaments. And oh my God, the cherry tomatoes are out of this world. And it was a great, rare pleasure and treat to be up there. I made good on the gift by going back to the stand several times this summer and plunking down money for those tomatoes, too. They're good.
It is cool. More and more farm stands you'll see now will have some type of, and not that he's a farm stand, he's a lot of different things, but we'll start with the greenhouse and get things going so they're well ahead of the curve. Some people even doing that kind of on a smaller scale in their gardens. You see those lights they have inside and then the small little getting out. So we did that at my mom's house. My sister said, "You know, let's do this. Let's." A very small-scale thing, and I think it's a good growing season anyway, but it certainly didn't hurt to get things going a little bit
early. When I was a kid, we used to do what we call coal frames. I guess a lot of people do that. You build, like, a little box, and maybe it's as big as, like, my little garden, 4x8, and you get a couple old storm windows that aren't completely broken out, lay them over the top, and it creates a little warm spot underneath there, and then, you know, in March, you can get some good things going early in there and give them a head start because it gets nice and toasty and humid under there, and that's conditions a lot of plants really do enjoy.
All kinds of different things going on for that, for the early season. But then this time, other than harvest, I know some people will plant things later.
Yeah,
or
second
have
crop.
Then there's the bumper crops and stuff. But it's kind of interesting, all the different things.
I was just talking to someone this weekend, actually, about that. A second crop of spinach could go in the ground pretty soon, I suppose. I don't know if peas would make it. Peas wouldn't be probably too late.
There's different planting things. And then, of course, you can plant for spring, but plant now different things. And then
garlic.
You can get... What is it, the different turnips and stuff that will go late in the year? Some people, you know, after Labor Day, I'm done. There's all kinds of different other options. So
my dad loved Brussels sprouts. He just plain loved them. So we would have those out back, and we just let them set there. And Thanksgiving morning, you take the littlest kids and pack them out there. Child labor is a beautiful thing. You'd send them out, and they'd pluck enough Brussels sprouts for Thanksgiving dinner. And they were fresh, and they were good, and they were right out of the garden, even if it had been frosty, even if it was snowy out. It was good.
The children probably said, "We have enough labor. It's back to school time." So
back to school. We need a rest.
Go out to the garden. We'll
we need a
sleep
rest.
In that
we want to go to school. We need a break. Oh my goodness! What time are we looking at now?
Well, we're at
10:30.
Yes.
Yep. And you are listening to Open Mic on WDEV News Radio. Hester Fuller is my name. Tom McLeod is my friend and buddy here on the other side of the glass, and we're taking your calls 244-1777 or toll free 1-877-291-8255. Love to hear what's on your mind this morning. Do we need to take a break, or are we just wrapping
up? We certainly can if you would like to.
Let's stop and do a little bit of business while we have a lull, and
we'll
be right back after these words on Open Mic. Good morning and welcome back to Open Mic here on WDEV. Hester Fuller is my name. I'm here with Tom McLeod on a Monday morning, and the conversation is open, and we hope you will join us. 244-1777. 1-877-291-8255. Love to hear what's on your mind. Busy sports weekend coming up, right, Mr. M?
Mr. M, here I am. Yes, came off a pretty interesting one. They had Michigan stock car action, and Kyle Larson, who has not won yet. Well, that changed as of yesterday.
And he won.
He won. He looked good in Loudon the last several races since the July race, and he's been right in the running.
It's good. Where's he out of, do you know, by any chance?
Which team or
What part of the area? What part of the country?
I don't know that actually.
Well, sorry, I shouldn't have called
you. Put me on the spot.
But sorry.
It's okay.
We've all done that.
We can certainly look into it. Some I haven't. You know, there's him. There's Chase Elliott. There's a lot of the younger guys coming up.
Yeah.
And some have made a big impact. Some haven't. Chris Buescher, Alex Bowman was in for Dale Earnhardt Jr., who's been out of the car for a while now because he's had concussion syndrome. problems. And, of course, we had some of the folks on to talk about how difficult that could be. So here comes a call. We can get back to that topic.
But. You know, the stock car story I really have enjoyed, it was actually the Waterbury Record had a good piece on it last Thursday about the Lanphier girls from Duxbury, Peyton Lanphier and Riley Lanphier, stock car racers. They've been racing at Thunder Road, and they've been over to Groveton. And I guess Peyton's the youngest driver ever to win a race at Thunder Road. That's a couple of ladies I would like to have more of a chat with, but I think they just went back to high school today up to Harwood Union, so we're going to have to wait, I suppose, until a break of some sort to get them on the air. Right now, though, we've got Betty from Northfield on the line. Good morning, Betty.
Good morning. I'm calling to ask a question. Mm-hmm. Last week, you had a lady that called on about making a compost pile outside on her lawn for next spring's.
Right.
And I didn't get her whole story. I know it's grass clippings and whatever greenery you have from your garden. Mm-hmm. But she said there was some, what I didn't get was a percentage of something that went with the grass clippings. It was a 70% of something 70, that she put 30? With.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean, because I had to look that up myself. I guess to get a good compost pile going, you have what she called green stuff, which would be the clippings and like salad and stuff like that, and you know, vegetables. And then you have brown stuff, and that can be leaves or grass you've let dry out. It can be bits of paper. It can be some shavings if they decompose fast enough. And you need both kinds in there. If you have too much green to brown, you're going to get kind of a smelly, slimy mess. And if you have too much brown, more brown than green, then you're going to have a compost pile that's, I guess, pretty slow to get itself going. But I think the ratio was about 70-30. Was that right, Tom?
It was 70-something.
Okay,
yeah.
It would have been 30. 70-30 makes 100, so I guess that would be
what okay, it 70 of the green and 30 of the brown stuff?
No, other way around. 70 brown and 30% green.
Okay, so the brown is the
dried up stuff, brown leaves, brown grass clippings, cardboard, ripped up, and paper, newspaper.
And leaves.
Let them dry out a little bit.
Yeah, you'd have to let them dry, and then probably
Run the lawnmower over them.
Right.
She said.
Yeah, you wouldn't want just a whole leaf.
Yeah. Well, although they get they get pretty well turned up.
Turned over.
Good luck with your compost. Throw a squash back there too. I bet you'll have a big surprise in the middle of next summer.
Well, you never know. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, good. Volunteers in the compost pile. I've got a fabulous, glorious squash plant growing out mine now, but I'm not sure I really want to eat it because the squash are growing up right where I don't really want to pluck them and eat them. Maybe I'm just being a wuss.
Who would ever say that? It's not right. But that was Lynette mentioned that from Greensboro, Penn.
That's right,
and, one of us, I thought, wrote down, and of course, I have mine going, and I was making that mistake. Now it makes sense that it was just a little too...
Too much green?
Yeah, a little too slushy.
Yeah, it gets
without getting, enjoy your Cheerios, let's talk about the decomposition. But it is an interesting subject that is another one to look more into. I tried to just look it up online briefly before Lynette called. It's confusing.
Well, I mean, once you get the basic idea that you need both the green stuff and the brown stuff, and you get it...
They didn't even list that. They just said a lot of it was like, well, why don't you send us some money and we'll be happy to send you something. That, and it's like, I see.
You don't have to pay money
for it. No, I know you don't.
Common sense.
You would hope not.
Yeah, I hope not, too.
So they had the racing for Michigan. Dale Earnhardt Jr. has been out of the car because of concussion problems. And he's doing physical therapy. And if he just sticks with it, I'm sure it'll be fine. But it just shows something, a conversation we had earlier with Hannah and some of the different people with brain injuries.
Yeah.
With athletes, and he's been like a number of stock car drivers and enough accidents where over time
it builds up.
Yeah. So certainly wish him well. It's an interesting story there, but better safe than sorry to be able to get back into that car.
That's right. And you speak from experience, I know. It is a time for parents to be warned about that too, because we're hitting the fall sports season. I guess some of the sport groups have already gotten themselves going. They've had a couple of weeks of practice leading up to jumping into the regular school season.
Getting right to that. So then they have, we were talking off air, Thunder Road is done with their Thursday night races.
Yeah.
But they have their 38th 8th Coca-Cola Labor Day Classic. So I haven't made plans yet for my Labor Day. There's a good one right there. That's 1 o'clock Sunday, September 4th.
Excellent.
And then they have the Milk Bowl, but that's not up until first part of October,
that's
the first and the second.
Yeah, first weekend in October, as I recall.
ThunderRoadSpeedBowl.com, the easiest way to keep up with that.
That's right. Or stay tuned right here to WDEV. We have kind of an inside track on what's happening over there.
Some mention of that from time to time.
Once in a while we do, yeah. Give us a call. Tell us what's on your mind this fine Monday morning in August. 244-1777 or toll free 1-877-291-8255. Hey, you know, something I was going to talk about last week, and we kind of didn't squeeze it in there. If you've got a dog, and he's been seeing other dogs lately, and he's snuffling and snorting, you might want to ask your vet if your dog might have a touch of kennel cough. There's been an outbreak going around. They actually closed the dog park here in Waterbury. The tricky thing about it is that it takes anywhere from 10 days to 2 weeks after exposure to manifest symptoms. And, of course, all that time when your dog's looking just fine, they may be breathing it out into the air, and it's contagious. It's terrifically contagious. It's for a dog that is not very, very young or very, very old or in some way compromised, their immune system compromised, it isn't necessarily a lot of trouble or a worry. They just sniffle and snork and honk just like you would if you had a terrible, terrible cold. But the thing about it is that it is terrifically contagious. And so if your dog comes down with these symptoms, it's really a good idea. Pull him out of circulation for a bit. Keep him away from other dogs until he's been clear of those symptoms for about 24 hours. Because I think it's hard to put a cap on these outbreaks. We get them, and, you know, dogs move around, and they're, you know, visit with other dogs, or they go into, like, a daycare situation or whatever, and it spreads really easily. There's no way truly to sanitize against it because it is an airborne virus. The other thing that's kind of nasty about it is you get a vaccine against it, but just like the flu, there's a million different strains of the stuff. And you could be vaccinated against one and wind up anyway with a different strain of it and being a little bit ill. So I hear some noise out there. What are we hearing there? Can't quite tell. I guess Tom's working it out. Oh, just another thing to be concerned about here. What's on your mind today at 244-1777 or call me toll free 1-877-291-8255. That will put you in touch with the microphones here at Open Mic, and we very much want to know what's on your mind and what you think we should be paying attention to on this last Monday in the month of August.
We have some ready for it. We were talking about this earlier. Breaking news.
Oh my goodness, yes, let's go with the breaking news.
Actually, no, this is a good story. We've heard from Ann from Waterbury, and the Waterbury Dog Park is now reopened.
Oh, that's fantastic. Good news. Glad to hear about it.
With why it was closed with the kennel cough. Is that what
you're
talking about?
Yeah, kennel cough, Bordadella.
Taken care of.
Fantastic.
But still good to be aware of for just with your own dog elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wanted to make sure everybody knew that everything's okay here.
Yep. I'm very glad she called. Yeah, I tried to phrase that in a way so that it just say that they had to have closed it, but I'm glad to hear that they've reopened now.
Now reopened.
That's tremendous. Yep. And eventually, you know, these things get contained and bottled up and they go away until they come back again. And it's just one of those sort of inevitable things. But we can all play our part in keeping that to a minimum, keeping it down. And just, you know, keep your dog home. If he's snuffling, just like if you have a little kid, don't send him to school and get everybody else snuffling. If your dog is snuffling, don't send him off to daycare and get everybody else snuffling. Keep him home. About 24 hours after symptoms evaporate, should be just fine. Mm-hmm. So, what else is on the news for today?
Well, we have Red Sox baseball.
That's right.
Okay weekend with the Royals. Not great.
Mm-hmm.
They lost Friday, won Saturday, and lost last night. So, and then they lost a couple games to Tampa Bay that they probably should have won Wednesday and Thursday of last week. And now they take on Tampa Bay again. So, hopefully that works out. Steven Wright has been back on the mound for the Red Sox. So, I think Drew Pomeranz has been pitching. Clay Buchholz is starting to get it together. So
that's
good. Things are lining up, and we got another month here in September, a little bit in October, and then...
Where are we in the standings at this point? For a while, we were tied for first, but I don't think that's the case.
Yes, well, of course, it all depends on what Baltimore and Toronto are doing, and I didn't see the latest. But it's all quite close for the American League East.
Yeah, an exciting slide down toward the last few weeks of the regular season.
So we have, tonight's game and Tuesday night's game. It looks like we have a Wednesday afternoon game, but we'll stick to Monday and tonight and Tuesday, 6:25 when things get
broadcast underway. Time? Okay, good. And that's the pregame show, and then first pitch probably, 7:05, something like that.
Yeah.
Boston Red Sox still going on, a true sign of the summer. What's on your mind this first Monday in August? 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. We've been talking about gardens. We've been talking about trade agreements. We've been talking about school. We talked a little bit about politics, but not too much about politics. We talked about all kinds of stuff this morning, and we'd love to know what's on your mind as well. Give us a call, 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255.
Alrighty, as we're moving along here, let's see the weather forecast. Roger Hill, you were mentioning today. We're starting off. It was supposed to be more rain than we got originally yesterday. It was supposed to be some midday. That was the forecast.
We got hammered last night.
So it must have drifted that way. I guess down around here, central Vermont was.
It was just after dark, and you know it gets dark earlier. I'm starting to notice that. It also gets light later in the morning. I'm already noticing that. It's depressing.
The only thing I really don't like about a long winter is the lack of light. Mm-hmm. Don't mind the changing seasons. Anyway, but today, sunshine, temperatures mid-70s, sunny on Tuesday, high 75 to 80, and then it looks like a little cooler over the weekend, but it's nice to have it not 40 degrees during the day or anything like that. But we did have that about 2 months ago, that weekend where we hit like a high of 60 on a Sunday. That was a bit of a... And then I think last Monday, people were talking about firing up some of those coal pockets, their wood stoves and stuff, thinking that, okay, it is not the time where the leaves are falling off, but here's a little preview.
Yeah, well, you know what's coming next, and this is one of my favorite times of year. Cider season is right around the corner. Oh, my goodness, I do love that.
All kinds of different varieties they're making again, too. It's not just the basic.
No, but even the basic is tremendous. I love going out. I got a lot of wild apple trees where I live, and I like to go out and gather me a whole pile of those things and grind them up. It's terrific.
That sounds really pretty good.
Yeah, it's a nice fall party to have, too. You know, rent yourself a press if you can find one anywhere. Call up your neighbors and everybody bring their old apples in and make yourself some cider.
Apple
right around
pie?
The corner. Apple pie, cheese macaroni, and stewed apples. That's one of my favorite fall into winter dinners. Sounds good. 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. We'll get you open mic here on WDEV right on the air up until 11 o'clock this morning. At 11, Bill Sayre will be in with Rob Roper, and they'll be talking about climate change and its potential impact on the election campaigns for governor and the legislature here in Vermont this fall. Common Sense Radio, Rob Roper, Bill Sayre, this morning, 11 o'clock, brought to you by the Ethan Allen Institute.
And then I noticed also probably on the, I don't know if you have it on the sheet, as he does from time to time, joining Bill on Tuesday will be former Governor Jim Douglas.
I'm a big fan.
And always... he's got that good blend of humor, and boy, what a show he put on that Winter Star Show.
Oh, wasn't that great? Yeah. Oh, my God, what a great pairing, too. Jeez.
Rusty has mentioned that Rusty Dewey's were talking about that he would like to get it together again. So it's a great that time of year when there's not as much to do to get out.
Yeah.
And
that was a great little series. Yeah. It really was. It felt really kind of homey and, you know, down your local town hall. And, of course, the atmosphere it creates and those things anyway. It's just fun. You meet new people, and they feel like old friends before you leave the building.
I have so many great venues to watch music, from the Barry Opera House to the building in Stowe to the Flynn to the Virgin's Opera House, which I've never been to, and I hear it's wonderful.
Yeah. How about the Music Box up in Craftsbury? You ever been up there?
I've heard about it.
Fantastic.
Releases, they're always doing things up there.
Yeah, Lisa Samet does a tremendous job. She's a librarian down at Judevine in Hardwick. And
Chandler
for fun.
Music Hall and all these different ones. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. No, Chandler's lovely. The acoustics at Chandler are wonderful as well.
A lot of great old venues here throughout Vermont, and Haskell Opera House, that's pretty neat, way up north.
Of course, we've still got the fair going on all
Champlain
this week.
Valley
Champlain
Fair,
Valley
sure.
Fair, we got a couple more. And we have Rascal Flatts coming in later this week.
Well, I know Saturday night we had in one of our lucky listeners here on the getaway with the getaway. What was that noise? It sounded like your bird calls in there or something. That was the Hester Northern...
Yeah, no.
Owl bird. But anyway, on the getaway, we've already had a ticket giveaway, and someone went to ZZ Top Saturday
Terrific.
Night.
I bet that was a good time.
So that was a big talk for that.
Yeah.
For that.
I think Artie went too, didn't he? I thought I saw pictures on his Facebook.
It was kind of a way. It was at camp. We had a big work bee.
Oh, good.
So we had to put in a new chimney.
Oh, yeah?
And they did not ask me to do that because they knew that, like, you have trouble operating a hammer, Tom. Why don't you go over here and pile some wood? So I was away with it. It's up in Standard where we don't get very good reception of anything.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we go there.
Exactly.
Yep. Standard's a good town. Yeah, I was here. I heard about it. I was at Friends for a Sunday lunch yesterday, something I love to do. And we were sitting in the backyard because it was a real hot day. Took our plates outside, and someone was talking about a camp that they were going to. But this camp sounded more posh than any camp I'd ever heard.
Well, it wouldn't be our camp then.
It wouldn't be your camp.
No, ours is a little more rustic.
Amenities that just about right disqualified it to be a camp. And indoor plumbing was involved and a few
other
things.
We have that.
You do have that.
Yeah, but not hot water.
Oh, goodness. We're all getting to be sissies.
Well, in that camp, the other one up in Ferdinand.
Ferdinand.
Yeah, up by Maidstone.
Yeah, way up there.
Up there.
Yep.
That's a little more rudimentary.
That's true kingdom country. Yeah.
And we don't, no running water there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that depends. With the outhouse, when the spring, when the river comes up, that's running water there. That takes care of things. And so
you see many hikers up that way when you go up that way?
Not necessarily where we're located. That's kind of right in the middle.
I guess there's a tremendous trail running right through Victory Bog, which I would really love to hike.
Yes, that's nice. That's more to the east.
Yeah, okay. All right.
We're closer to Maidstone Lake, actually, which is, it's funny because there is nothing up there. And then you get to Maidstone Lake, and it's like one of the old-time lakes where the camps are all lined up, camp after camp, all around the lake. So, state park up there and stuff.
Wow.
Some good stuff.
It's going to be gorgeous, too, and the leaves are going to start to turn, and it's just going to be beautiful, and we're not going to be sorry to see that.
No, it's been a nice. We had a pretty easy winter, so I don't mind winter this year. Ask me about January 22nd.
How can you say you don't mind something that hasn't slammed you up against the wall yet?
Well, exactly, because it was last year was not bad. I never really felt winter came. It was really icy.
Yeah, it was.
It wasn't very snowy.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I don't.
You know, it was bad for a lot of people.
It was tough on skiers. It was tough on a lot of folks who really depend on that. But
the snowmobile traffic, like some of the smaller stores that have gone out of business before because they rely on snowmobilers coming by. One about middle of February, they were saying that by this time they usually have about 700 different snowmobilers. Some of the same people, but 700 visitors they log it. At this time last year, they had 4.
Wow.
So, you know, that really...
Really,
you know,
hit
people,
the business.
I think, got through, but we certainly need more snow this year for downhill skiing and snow machining and cross country and all of those things.
Yeah. Well, I think it's about 10 minutes of 11, and we have still a little bit more business to do, so we're going to take a bit of a break, and that'd be a good time for you to give us a call, 244-1777, or toll free 1-877-291-8255. We'll put you in touch with Open Mic. Good morning and welcome back to Open Mic here on WDEV. Hester Fuller is my name, and I'm here with Tom McLeod. The mic is wide open this morning on a Monday morning. We like to throw it open to our listeners, and that would be you. Like to hear what you have on your mind this morning. What are they talking about at your store? What are they talking about down where you work? Let us know. Give us a call, 244-1777, 1-877-291-8255. Tell us what's on your mind. Tell us what we ought to be paying more attention to here at WDEV. Open Mic comes your way every Monday through Friday from 9 till 11 in the morning. Tomorrow, Mike Smith will be back in this chair, as he is every Tuesday through Friday. I don't have Mike's list in front of me of the things that he's going to be doing this week. Often I do, but I don't have it today. So tune in. We'll all be surprised and pleased, I'm sure. Open Mic comes your way every Monday through Friday here on WDEV from 9 to 11. Give me a call. We're here this morning until 11 a.m., 244-1777, or call us toll-free, 1-877-291-8255. Good morning, Fred. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm well, and how are you, Hester?
I'm doing just fine. What's on your mind?
The EpiPen controversy and stuff. The price has gone up exponentially. When I was 28, I went out in the berry patch, and I was picking some raspberries, and the best ones were in there about 3-4 feet, so I was leaning in, and I got stung by white fake wasps,
and
I ended up at the hospital having an allergic reaction, and they took care of me and told me, you know, go out, buy some EpiPens and stuff. So every year I go out and I buy these EpiPens, and they'd sit in the glove box or they'd sit in my fishing vest and stuff, and I was told that I had to, you know, rebuy these things, and I never used them and stuff. And finally I ran into a nurse who told me, said, just get Benadryl tablets and stuff and keep them everywhere, you know. And so I've got them in my hunting vest, fishing vest, in the car, in the house, and I am never far from having my Benadryl right there.
Wow, Fred. Now,
whether I need a drink of water or not, doesn't matter and stuff, you know. I mean, I'll chew these things up, swallow them dry, and they have knocked out. I've since been stung and started to have an allergic reaction, and within 5 minutes of chewing up the Benadryl, I'm back to normal. Everything's fine.
Able wow.
The rest of the day, no side effects, yada, yada.
Wow, that kind of surprises me that chewing up the Benadryl would have the impact as quickly as it does.
It well, you know, take it with a glass of water and stuff, but mm-hmm. It just... why they want to push the EpiPens instead of pushing Benadryl tablets or Benadryl liquid. You can. One time I didn't yeah. have them with me and stuff. I ran into the pharmacy, grabbed the Benadryl bottle, pounded down a third of the bottle and stuff, walked, stood in line. The woman said, "You've been stung by a bee, haven't you?"
Yeah.
And I said, "How can you tell?" Well, you know, when people drink Benadryl like that, you know, it's...
Yeah. Now, doesn't it make you sleepy, though? Maybe that's why they don't really push doing it, because, you know, you don't want to be chugging Benadryl and getting behind the wheel. Well, it's better than being dead, this is true. But if you fall asleep behind the wheel, you might be just as dead, and it wouldn't really matter how that happened.
You know, I mean, I wasn't driving or anything like that.
Okay.
It's just, advice, you know, I mean, as a medical person, you know, back up what I'm saying, but it works for me, and I would never buy another EpiPen again and stuff. I mean,
with the ridiculous price hike, I mean, yeah, that just seems to me, there's just something so unethical and wrong about that. You know what I was seeing? Did you see this too? It was in the paper this weekend. Somebody had made like a little emergency kit for themselves. It was a Sucretz box, and they had a little like a vial of whatever was in EpiPen and a little syringe, and they just packed it around with them, and it was a lot cheaper than buying the EpiPen.
Yeah, but an EpiPen is, you know, I mean, say you're hiking and stuff.
Yeah.
This thing, you know, it's just, or you're kayaking, or, you know, you're stacking wood and stuff. You know,
sure.
And there's a bee's nest and you get stung and, or whatever kind of reaction. You know, I mean, you're nuts allergic and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there might be some things where it'd be better to have the EpiPen, but having Benadryl is real easy and it's cheap.
Yep. Yep. No, it's true. And I think that's a great suggestion for folks. If it really does work, then that's a good solution for folks to pack along with them. Fred, thanks so much for calling in with that tip, especially as we head into Labor Day weekend, which is a good time to be out and about walking in the wild parts of Vermont where you might be some distance from any kind of help if you get bit or stung by some kind of an animal or critter that gives you an allergic reaction. So that Benadryl tip is an interesting and a good take, it seems to me. We've got medical authorities out there. I'm certainly no doctor, but if there's someone out there who wants to comment on that, we'd certainly like to hear it. We are coming up on the top of the hour, though, and we are looking forward to having Bill Sarin here in just a few minutes. He and Rob Roper will be along talking about the climate change issue and how it might affect the elections and the campaigns for governor and the legislature here in Vermont this coming November.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
The only thing I can add, because we're running out of time, I am allergic, definitely allergic to almonds.
Oh, yeah?
Hazelnuts worse, and you do need an EpiPen for that.
Okay.
The Benadryl for like a bee sting, it depends on your level of allergic, but I'll go right into shock. And
oh, boy.
They will give you steroids, and it's more of a steroid thing in the EpiPen and Benadryl. I have the liquid Benadryl. Everything he was saying is right, but if you have some of these peanut allergies, it's a whole different level. So those people... I've really been getting hit by this EpiPen thing.
Yeah.
And it looks like it seems to be headed in the right direction, thanks to public awareness. But just a real little tip out there for anyone who has one of those severe allergies that you can develop at any time.
Yeah, I gather that's so. I've been very blessed in my life not to have allergies, but I do have family members and friends who really are kind of at the mercy of their environment in that way. Actually, I have relatives who've never been able to have a meal at my house because I have cats, and they are very, very allergic to cats. It's hard.
It can be. It's very environmental, and then, you know, allergies can come and go. And I used to be allergic to shellfish, and I'm not anymore.
Well, that's amazing. That's strange. Well, who knows what's behind all that? I'm sure someone is figuring it out. And that's a good topic for us to explore as we get into the fall season, the hiking season. Well, might try to do that. Get somebody in here who's knowledgeable about things we can do. Of course, the big issue with the EpiPen, of course, is the big pharma response to the demand, hiking the price on those things, just beyond what seems to be reasonable. There was a follow-up on that story this weekend, a big pharmaceutical executive coming on saying they were in the business of serving shareholders, not patients, which I think is what the slam was from the very beginning.
Must not have any peanut allergies then.
Apparently shareholders don't get peanut allergies.
Guess not. They're immune to that.
Must be. Must be that that's what it is. Well, we are looking at the top of the hour, and Bill Sayre will be along momentarily with Rob Roper in the Common Sense Radio program. I'm Hester Fuller. I want to thank you on behalf of Tom McLeod. We've had a fine time this morning on the open mic program here on WDEV. We are broadcasting from AM 550 out of Waterbury, Vermont. Also, FM 96.1 from the top of Sugarbush, Warren in Waitsfield. WDEV FM also broadcasts from 96.5 in downtown Barrie. And blanketing the kingdom over the independently owned airwaves of 101.9 FM in Island Pond, Vermont. We are WDEV News Radio. I am Hester Fuller, and thank you very much for listening to Open Mic.
The Open Mic Podcast is brought to you by Hickok Boardman, Dennis Ricker, and Brown.
Find us online at hbinsurance.com. And you're always welcome to visit us on Facebook, in Vermont, online, on the phone. Hickok and Boardman Insurance Group. We are here when you need us.